What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Kenelia, back with another episode of Black News, a podcast where we break down current events, hot topics, and local stories involving Black people. Now let's get into it. So this past week on social media, a lot of people were flagging certain things to watch or that were going on in regards to like viewership or content in that regard, right? Some weeks it's more social moments, but other weeks it's about, did you watch X, Y, and Z? And in this particular week, a lot of people were talking about the Wendy Williams documentary that came on Lifetime. Now, full disclosure, one, y'all know I ain't got cable, okay? So if you ask me, did I watch something that ain't on one of the streamers that I'm paying for? Because then I'm going to keep that at bay, because some of them about to get the axe. You understand? It's too much. Having streamers is now in total about the same cost that cable was when we cut the cable off. I'm just going to throw that out there. We paying just as much for streamers as we were for cable when we got fed up. But anyway, so when somebody asked me, did I watch the Wendy Williams documentary? First, I had to see if I could. Hey, I got a log Xfinity login. Okay, I had to tap in to even check it out. And two, while I know Wendy Williams and am very familiar with her history, her work over the years, I wouldn't necessarily call myself a fan. And when I say fan, I mean the way I'm a Beyonce fan. Like, so I respect Wendy Williams as an entertainer and in the space, but I wasn't really keeping up on the day-to-day happenings of Wendy Williams. So a lot of the initial stuff that I saw on social media in regards to her documentary, while I heard about it, I wasn't really tapped in. So this is fairly new information for me. I may have even mentioned some of this on Black News, like sparingly, but I didn't know the details or the in-depth like this. With that said, there is a 4-part documentary on Lifetime that is or has chronicled Wendy Williams' last few years in New York City and dealing with her wanting to get back on TV or radio, her having health challenges, her having a guardian that's responsible for managing her finances in her life. She has different managers, a publicist. Come to find out her family can't be her guardian. Like, there's just a lot. And I did not know all of this until now. So yes, I watched the 4 parts. A part, it was difficult. Y'all know I don't really like reality show-esque stuff. Like, I watch me a good documentary, but if it's too much, y'all not be turning it off. And there were points in this that were very triggering for me, but I got through it. So let's talk about it. So one reason why I wasn't necessarily an avid watcher of Wendy Williams, because she came on in the daytime and y'all have stuff to do, okay? I do not be watching TV. I don't really be watching none of the talk shows in the daytime unless the clips go viral on social media or if they're interviewing somebody that I like. Like, I can kind of tell you what be going on Sherry Shepherd's show, Tamron Hall, Jennifer Hudson, Kelly Clarkson, Drew Barrymore. Like, I know the shows, but I don't watch frequently. But I also do have friends who have done segments on Wendy Williams's talk show. So I had to tap in every now and then to support my friends. But Wendy Williams has been in the business since the radio days. At one point, they were calling her like the queen of talk or the queen of radio in New York. Whether you're on the side of her style of radio or not, she was big and up north and on the East Coast. Hell, when I was working in New York years ago, in my early to mid 20s, I had a coworker who would sneak her radio into the office in her cubicle so she can listen to Wendy Williams live. Okay, this was before like XM radio and all. She would sneak the radio, had the antenna. Y'all, she had the rabbit ears extended off the cubicle so she can hear what Wendy Williams and them was talking about. And this was around the time where Wendy would be calling people. Y'all, look up Wendy Williams and Whitney Houston. I'm talking about it used to get messy. So I'm familiar with all of that. But right now, what has happened, Wendy was having some serious health challenges towards the end of her tenure on air. She at one point announced that she had Graves' disease. But now, and I think I'm willing to bet, they announced this just to get ahead of the documentary that came out, because there's no way you can watch that documentary and not be like, what is going on with Wendy Williams? She has now been diagnosed with progressive aphasia and frontotemporal dementia, in addition to having struggles with alcohol and the issue with her foot, because she kept talking about, I didn't catch what was the diagnosis of her foot condition, but she kept talking about her foot and showing people her foot, and she lost a feeling in her foot, like both of her feet. So there's additional things in regards to the most recent diagnoses. But in regards to those diagnoses, because on the documentary, while Wendy was always like very direct and kind of spicy and stuck up for herself, she was a New Yorker. You can tell there's something going on. Her behavior was like sporadic. She would forget things, forget people. She would be just talking mean and just, it was just a different person than what she has been showing the world. So a lot of people were saying those are signs of what she was diagnosed with. So in regards to the aphasia, to put it into context, y'all know Bruce Willis was recently diagnosed with something. It was also the same thing, aphasia. So what it does, it leaves patients struggling to understand language and communicate. And I'm reading this, it says it's related to damage on the left side of the brain and is usually a symptom of other medical issues like stroke, head injury, or tumor. So that is that. She was also diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia, which is a brain disorder that affects the brain frontal and temporal lobes, which are associated with personality, behavior, and language, which could be the explanation for what we were seeing on the documentary. Overall, it's really sad. It's a really sad situation. And honestly, I don't know who approved this and why they're doing it. Like, the whole time I was watching this documentary, I was thinking, who's behind this? Is it Wendy's team? Is it her family? Is it like some production company that she signed some papers with? Like, who is behind this? Because if you remember Wendy Williams don't necessarily didn't like to get caught out there. And as much as she used to call out other celebrities and other people, I'm willing to bet she would not want to have herself on here in this way. Especially to the point she took her dang wig off. People were even saying at one point, I think Don Lemon even made a tweet and said, I don't think Wendy would have liked that. She used to have her wig off at my house when we used to hang out, but she would never want to be seen in public that way. So it's her having medical and health challenges is really sad. But what's worse is the fact that we have gotten here, and I still don't know who's behind it. Another point of the documentary, the family is trying to win guardianship back, because, you know, guardianship, I feel like most of us became familiar with that term or the practice with Britney Spears. We found out that Britney Spears was under guardianship and her mom and daddy and them was cutting up. Okay. Now, but Britney got free and now she be dancing. So, you know, I think we related to that. But in regards to Wendy Williams, it seems like the family is saying, we want to take care of Wendy. she's not doing well when she's not in our care, specifically her son and her sister, because I know she got that son with her ex-husband, the one that was cheating, had that baby on her, okay? They didn't talk to the ex-husband. We don't need to hear from Buddy Boy, okay? You've done enough. I understand. You've done enough. But the family is trying to have some control over her health and well-being, because right now they don't have any. Sound like Wendy still don't got control of her money either, which is something that I just don't understand as well. But overall, I was not amused. Not to say that we're supposed to be amused watching this, but it was really disheartening seeing Wendy Williams in this way. Because, and I'm just even thinking about myself, if I were having those sorts of challenges, do not put me on no documentary unless I specifically told you when I was in my healthier stages that I wanted to be on a documentary this way. I just don't understand why, right? If it's a swan song, I feel like it would have been done in a different light, like a look back on a legacy and all of the things that I've accomplished. But I just didn't get that vibe. It was just really sad. But if you are a fan of Wendy Williams and you genuinely want to know what's going on and care about her well-being, I say watch it. Just so you can understand where she is now. But I'm also hoping that there's some justification or some explanation around it and where Wendy is now and what's happening. All right. So with that said, let me know if you watched or if you're planning to watch. It's not one of those things I'm like, you gotta watch. Nah, you watch it if you want support. But, you know, it is eye-opening. So let me know your thoughts about it overall. You can find me at Kanelia on social media. Another thing that everybody was talking about in regards to watching was the newest Tyler Perry movie on Netflix titled Mea Culpa. Now, Tyler Perry, I think he signed a Netflix deal for, I don't know how many dollars, I don't know how many years, but he is creating content for Netflix in the form of movies and possibly shows. I do know he has this Mea Culpa that's out now. There is also a movie starring Kerry Washington that is telling the story of the Black women military unit in, I believe, World War One or Two, that was responsible for the mail services there. That's coming soon as well. But I think Mea Culpa is the first movie a part of the Tyler Perry package deal. This one is starring Kelly Rowland and Trevante Rose. Now, first, these two people got to be the finest people that I have ever seen. Y'all, Kelly Rowland and Trevante Rose, some fine mother, you know. I ain't even gonna cuss. Y'all know I be trying my best. Trevante, y'all, so off rip, I see Tyler, I see what you're doing. Off rip, I see what you're doing, okay? If you talking about casting people, because let's keep it a buck, okay? We gonna keep it all the way 100. The people, then, especially the guys, they ain't really 90s fine like they used to, okay? A lot of people be talking about people like Jalen Hurts, and saying he's 90s fine, because the 90s fine was just fine. Y'all remember watching The Best Man? Remember the first time you saw The Best Man? And when they got back to the city and went to the bar or the lounge at night, and Terrence Howard was playing the guitar, and Nia Long and whoever said the lines, but they were basically saying, oh, here comes Lance, and Morris Chestnut walked into the door. that man, that's probably one of the finest anybody has looked on screen in the initial first scene. Morris Chestnut walking in on the best man. Trevante Rhodes is that, he that fine. I mean, this brother here, okay, that brother. So, Tyler, I see the vision, okay? I see the vision, my brother. Kelly Rowland, and I have not met Kelly Rowland in person. I have a lot of friends who are friends with Kelly Rowland, have met Kelly Rowland, have interacted with Kelly Rowland. I've seen her from a distance because she at one point was going to my church. Kelly Rowland is one of the most beautiful human beings I have ever seen in my life. I'm not just saying that. Y'all know some people, they be like, oh, you look better in person. Kelly Rowland, it looks amazingly beautiful in pictures and on social. In person, she is breathtaking. So to cast them in a movie, great. Okay, great. Awesome. Y'all know Tyler Perry also gonna cast a broke fine man, okay? There's a man named Sean Sager. He playing the broke fine man. You got a man, I think his brother, Nick Sager, he is playing his older brother. The whole time I was calling him Ty Mac because he looked like Ty Mac from The Last Dragon, if you ask me. And he was cutting up in the movie. Bruce Leroy, hey, he was giving Bruce Leroy. But an evil version, okay? He was another cute, you know, man. So Tyler Perry always going to have some fine cast. Ron Rako Lee, who is undefeated when it comes to delivering in the black community in regards to his movie and TV roles. Okay. Unsung hero of black cinema and television. So all around the cast, great. Okay. The cast, good. But the movie. Now, one thing you're not going to hear me do is like bash black entertainment, right? You know, and I'm not the one, because this town, excuse me, y'all, I'm burping. I had Mexican food for lunch. I'm sorry. This town is very small, and talking shit ain't gonna get you nowhere. And I'm not really here to talk shit, but I do want to address what some people are saying in regards to the content. Some people are really frustrated that Tyler Perry is continuing to write, direct, and produce his own movies, all of them. Y'all know Tyler Perry ain't gonna hire no writer, okay? He gonna write it, he gonna direct it, he gonna do all of it. People are frustrated. And let me say this too, because I understand that frustration. I also feel like I know why he's doing that. One thing about industry and your craft and your fan base, it's always smart to stay and play with your fan base, to play in that. You take years. Tyler Perry took years to build up his fan base doing the stage plays, and he moved that into the fan base around Diary of a Mad Black Woman and all of the and Family That Prays and Why Did I Get Married. He has a formula, a fan base, and it works. So you have a segment of the black community that's riding with Tyler from day one, and it's smart to always stay locked in with your fan base, because the minute you abandon them, sometimes it's hard to get them back. People be feeling betrayed. Then you also have a segment of the population who may not be necessarily a fan, but they are watching or they subscribe to supporting individuals, i.e. Kelly Rowland, because everybody loves Kelly Rowland, and Trevante Rhodes, fine black man. So I understand why Tyler Perry writes his own, all of his stuff. Because his fan base rock with it. Like they fool with it. They gonna watch it, and doing anything outside of that formula will betray. Basically, it'll bite the hand that feeds them. Honestly, it's smart business. It's really smart business, because the people who are mad, they're going to hate watch. People who support, they're going to love watch. And a watch is a watch. Don't nobody care about your feelings behind it. You bash it on social media, guess what? That's traction. Still going viral. Remember we had the last one with Taraji P. Henson and the wig was bad? Remember the wigs? Guess what? We watching because the wigs. When that lady was in that basement acting, cutting up, we was watching because she was in the basement cutting up, but the wigs. So Tyler Perry, listen, don't sleep. He know what he doing, and it's smart business. Whether we, you, me, so-and-so like it or not. I will say this, though. One thing he gonna give you is some moments where you yelling at the damn TV. Because, y'all, when I was telling you, I tell y'all I was yelling at the damn TV at some of the stuff in this movie. Me, cuss her ass, stab her, get out the house, she's stupid. Like, I'm talking about yelling. The sex scenes, I was even yelling at the sex scenes, because at one point, now spoiler alert. One scene, Kelly Rowland is over Trevante Rhodes' character's house. He plays a man who is on trial for murder. Kelly Rowland plays a defense attorney who is taking up his case. She's also in a troubled marriage with a fine poor man, okay, who's struggling. But she came over his house, and after they had a falling out, she always coming over late at night, which, girl, come in the daytime. You can't go over there at night. He too fine, okay? He too fine. But she come over there, and he was having sex with this woman. Kelly Rowland storms off like, gets a phone call from Ron Rico that says, check your email. It shows what she thought her husband was cheating on her. She goes back into the loft. The lady who Trevante was having sex with leaves. Kelly Rowland proceeds to have sex with him right then. That's Mr. Tyler. That was my only complaint. Because it's, as a black woman, the only way you can make me believe that a black woman would do it to a man right after he did it to somebody else without him having to take a shower, resetting, putting on a whole set of body lotion, and doing cleaning himself completely, the only way I would believe that is if maybe she ain't grew up around no black kids. That's the only way. Maybe she went to PWI. Not to say that y'all be doing that at the PWI, but I couldn't come to no other conclusion. Okay? I couldn't. That's the only thing I'm going to say. Okay? Otherwise, personally, I'm going to still keep supporting Tyler Perry because, hey, look, it ain't too many black producers and studio owners in this business. Tyler Perry do a lot of good stuff for people. And he, a lot of times, he is the person giving black entertainers, actors, directors, costumers, whoever, their first and initial shot and breakthrough. He was also, like Taraji P. Henson said, the only person, the first person to give her the quote that she asked for the work that she did. So whatever we want to, however we want to feel about the movie or whatever, he about that business. So with that said, did you watch Mea Culpa? What did you think about it? And do you or do you not recommend it for others? Let me know. Hit me up with your thoughts. You can find me at Kanelia on social media. In regards to black on the internet, and it, apparently black in real life and live in person, is Cam Newton. There's a video going viral of Cam putting a straight whoop down on some dudes at a 7-on-7 youth tournament. I think he was even sponsoring the youth tournament. Cam Newton was put the whooping on some people at the tournament. So let me start by saying, professional athletes are not like us. They are, yes, they're human beings. Yes, they have similar life experiences as us. But to become a professional athlete in any sport, there is an amount of training that one must go through that does not match any other type of training that other human beings experience. I know some of us was good in high school. Maybe you made varsity in the 9th, 10th grade. Sure, you went to the JUCO, got a couple shots off. You may even was a walk-on in college. Maybe you even got a scholarship. If you are not or have not been a professional athlete and have not done all of the work to get to that point, you need to know, athletes, they not like us, especially football dudes. Cam Newton is probably going to the NFL Hall of Fame. Now, y'all don't really follow that deep, but I know enough to know that Cam Newton is a lot in the conversation where they might let that boy in. And by saying boy, I ain't saying disrespect that man. I'm just using the term as a term of endearment, okay? But Cam Newton is 6'5", over 250 pounds. I believe I saw a clip where Shannon Sharp said, Cam Newton is way bigger than me and he's solid. Which means if you run up on Cam Newton, you better be running up. You better be in a vehicle. Like, there's no way you, an average guy, or maybe if you played football back in the day, that you can run up on Cam Newton. Listen, Cameron Newton, okay, he's a quarterback. And with that, he is used to men running at him at max speed, ready to knock all 250 pounds of him onto the ground, ready to pummel him. He's been pummeled. He also has the strength to be able to push people off of him. In the video of the fight, out of nowhere, some dudes ran up on him. Cam Newton had one man, was dragging him around by the dreadlocks. He had another man in a headlock. That was after he picked one up by his arms and book bag and flung him over to the side. This was him being caught off guard. Imagine if he were ready to fight and to square off. Professional athletes are not like us. Y'all cannot challenge people in the weight class that they're in. You can't be on their home field trying to run up. If you see Gary Payton out in the basketball court, don't talk crap to Gary Payton. I don't care how old he is. He gonna give you that work. They are not like us. Now, I don't know. And when I say by us, I mean like the thumb thugs. Because most of us, we don't be talking crap to professional athletes. We mind our business. But them thumb thugs, they, let them tell it. They was on the Redeem Team, the Olympic gold medal team. They act like they was on the Redeem Team. They wasn't. So I don't know what started the fight. A lot of people were saying there was like some trash talk going back and forth. Some people saying Cam started it. Some people showing a video of one of the coaches, the youth coaches, talking about, yeah, I'm going to give them that work. I'm going to give you that work. Sir, you're a youth coach. Knock it off. Like, stop. You probably got to go to work. Like, you can't do this, my brother. Chill. So whatever the case may be, there are now people calling for Cam and other athletes to stop holding these types of events due to the climate within our communities. A lot of people saying this is a common experience where the kids now be talking back and be disrespectful to the athletes, parents and whatnot. So I don't know all about that, but it is unfortunate. And also, it's unfortunate for them dudes because it looked like Cam put them big paws on them, okay? So, I also think, though, they do need to bring Pros versus Joes back. Y'all remember Pros versus Joes used to come on, like, Spike TV or something? Where it would be the average Joe who was sitting on his couch. Maybe he hooped or played football back in the day. Sorry, y'all, it's a dog. There's a dog back there. There's a dog barking. But he would be paired with like some professional athlete. And the athlete will proceed to beat up on the Joes the entire episode in different competitions in a competitive setting. We need to bring that back because I'm tired of it. Okay. Stop acting like these professional athletes are just like you. They're not. Okay. Did you see the fight or the squabble? Do you have more information than I do? Because I only got the bare minimum. Okay. I only got the bare minimum. And honestly, I ain't going to do no digging for no more backstory. I'm pretty satisfied with what I got. But let me know what you thought about it, okay? Let me know. You can find me on social media at Kenelia. On this week's episode of Black News, we talked about the Wendy Williams documentary that aired this past week on Lifetime. We also discussed the new Tyler Perry movie, Mea Culpa, on Netflix, starring the finest people on the planet, Kelly Rowland and Trevante Rhodes. And also gave a quick update about Cam Newton whooping on some coaches at a youth football tournament. Hit me up and let me know your thoughts about all of these topics, some or none. And I'll check back with you guys next time. That's it for this week's episode of Black News, y'all. Thanks again for supporting the podcast by sharing, liking, subscribing, and rating 5 stars on your favorite podcast app. To find more information about me, you can check me out at Kenelia on social media, as well as on my website, which is kenelia.com. And as always, thanks for supporting, and I'll be back next week with new topics and a new episode.